Pensacola's first choice for morning news, traffic, sports, and talk. The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Good morning, Pensacola.
There was an FBI study of 160 active shooter incidents from 2000 to 2013, and they found that only one was stopped by an armed individual with a concealed weapons permit. In contrast, 21 incidents were stopped by unarmed citizens.
So this is Democrat Tina Pawlowski in the Senate yesterday as they take up J.R. Williamson's safety in the place of worship bill. This is, remember, he calls it a glitch bill. It's a bill that is designed to reallow, essentially, the right of people who are going to church at a facility or at a location that happens to be close to or on the same campus as a school, whether it's a church-run school or whether it's a church that's renting space on a school campus or whatever the case may be. You can't take concealed carry into a school or onto a school property or near to a school property. Therefore, if you happen to attend church at a place that's near to a school, it's a gun-free zone, which is an oversight because that was never the intent. The intent was to stop guns from being in schools, not to stop guns from being in churches. Churches are completely legal to take a gun into. There is no prohibition on taking a concealed carry weapon, if you have a permit, into a place of worship. None whatsoever in the state of Florida, unless that individual institution posts up on a sign that says no guns in here. Okay. So she says, look, we've had all these different incidents and only one was ever stopped by somebody with a concealed carry. How many times have you heard the, if it saves one life argument from the left? Now, if it saves one shooting incident and it saves the lives of one, two, three, four people, or it discourages somebody, or if, as we often say, more people ought to have concealed carry permits and therefore be capable in an environment where you never know where the threat location is. I mean, to me, one is enough. Even if it were zero, theoretically. But we know that there are more attacks taking place in churches, and so fine. But see, this is not the problem. The arguments against this bill were not about this bill.
So it just makes us, you know, very uncomfortable that we're saying more guns, more guns, more guns, when we have had, is it 60 mass shootings so far this year? So let's just add more guns in a sacred place like a church, a temple, a mosque.
Okay, first of all, guns are already allowed in sacred places, guns, churches, and mosques. So that's not up for debate. That's already there. Second of all, is it the more people with concealed weapons permits that are causing these mass shootings? No, guns are all the, it's just guns. Guns are the issue. You know, guns are the problem. It's like somebody who says, you know, all these cars are killing people. Well, yeah, I mean, it's speeders and texters and drunk drivers for the most part. But it's just the cars. No, it's the speeders and the drunk drivers and the texters that are causing the problem. It's distracted drivers, right? That's the issue. It's not the car. It's the who's using it. And here again, concealed weapons permit holders are not the ones that are causing these mass shootings.
I believe there are other ways to make those institutions safe. And we all know basically nowhere is safe. And that's because there's just too many guns in America.
Nowhere is safe. Therefore, there's no reason to make anything even safer. And what are the other methods? What are the other methods that you think are going to make them safe? And why should a church that happens to operate near or on a school campus be obligated to use the far more expensive and or difficult measure than saying to their parishioners, hey, by the way, the law allows you to conceal carry in the congregation now, and we like that. Go ahead. And if they don't like it, also fine to say no, because they're allowed to. Gary Farmer, leader of the Democrats.
We've got a gun obsession in this country. We've got a gun problem. We dwarf the rest of the world combined in the number of mass shootings and killings. If you look at the number of mass shootings this year alone, it's staggering.
It is staggering. And he's right. We have a gun problem. Well, we have a misuse of gun problem, but we certainly have a mass shooting and a violence problem. So what's the answer? Well, so advocates of this bill would say that's why you want good people to be able to protect themselves. So your argument is in favor of this bill, you would think.
It has just never been proven that this concept that gun-free zones result in greater death is true. It's a fallacy.
Man, you see it every night on the news when these criminals go attack police stations and gun shops. Every single night on the news, they go... I mean, it's never been proved that a gun-free zone is more ripe as a target. Oh, my goodness.
Dirty Harry, Rambo, John McClane aren't going to be rising up in a church and taking out the bad guy. When you got more guns, you've got more danger. Period.
It gets better. Every clip I play, it gets better. I'm listening to this yesterday thinking, oh, my God, you're the best argument for... Okay, so first of all, notice that John McClane, Rambo, and Dirty Harry, two out of the three are cops. All right, Dirty Harry and John McClane are cops, and Rambo's a military. None of whom were particularly concealed carry guys, although, I mean, you could make the argument about Die Hard if you really want to get into the nitty-gritty of the details. But the point is, so he doesn't even like cops to have guns, if you want to take argument seriously. Now, do Americans have a problem with their imagery of heroism and violence and gun? I mean, okay, sure. Yeah. But again, notice the examples he picks inadvertently are law enforcement people.
These are religious institutions. They're supposed to be peaceful places of worship. Why anybody would bring a gun to a church is beyond me.
Yeah, and a lot of religious people think the same way. And a lot of religious people would rather go to a church where there aren't going to be any guns. And there's a longstanding discussion within, I can only speak for the Christian community because I know that one better, within the Christian community of whether you should take a gun to church, whether it's appropriate or not. Have that conversation. But that's not a decision that should be made by Tallahassee. That's all. This is not a decision that should be made by Tallahassee. It should be made by the individual congregants and the individual congregation. And if you don't like that, then don't take one and don't go to a congregation that allows it. It's really that simple.
We should not be making this decision. We should not be making this mandate that everybody gets to carry a gun in a church. Something's going to go wrong and people are going to die.
You're exactly right. You shouldn't be making this decision. That's why you have a bill that allows people who are in a congregation to decide for themselves. Not you, Gary Farmer.
And let me reiterate, what this bill does is right now, if you have a religious institution without a school on the property, concealed permit holders are allowed to carry right now without any issue. Unless there's a sign on the door that says, like any other private property owner, no guns, weapons allowed on their property.
Yeah, this is Joe Gruters. He was the sponsor in the Senate of the bill that, again, was J.R. Williamson's bill, saying that, no, this is the whole idea. It's a choice, right? It gives you the option.
This bill allows for a religious institution, if there is a school on the property, allows you then to be able to carry, but it's still up to the religious institution. It's not up to the individual. The religious institution can still determine time, place, where, when, how, who. They get to create the policy. This gives options to people.
It gives options. This passed 24-16 yesterday. It's going to the governor for his signature. It is certainly going to be signed. Finally, a common sense gun bill that clears up this weird situation where churches that happen to be near or on school campuses, you're not supposed to take guns there. By the way, a friend texted me this story from December of the parishioners who shot the guy who himself had fatally killed two at a church. How many more would he have killed if they hadn't had their concealed weapons? You decide what you're going to do at your church. Your church gets to decide whether you have guns at your church. But Tallahassee shouldn't be deciding whether you should be defenseless in your church, synagogue, or mosque. It's that simple. 617 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Davis Allen has traffic for you.
Well, so far, the only delays I'm noticing this morning are the minor delays at the front gate of NES Pensacola. Other than that, all other major roadways around the area are flowing smoothly, including Avalon Boulevard and Garcon Point Bridge, Gulf Breeze Parkway, Navarre Parkway, I-10, I-110, all checking and clear. And the 9 Mile Road, Pine Forest area, including Highway 90 through Milton Pace, all flowing smoothly. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
You know, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Renke Realty, they really are pros. I mean, they really, she was telling me the other day, we were talking about this new guarantee she's got that if they don't sell your house within 14 days, assuming it qualifies and assuming that you agree about a price, two preconditions, okay? So not all homes, but assuming that they'll sell it in 14 days or she'll pay you $5,000. And she was like, Andrew, we just know how to do this. It's a week. We can get a home sold in a week. Give me the chance to price it right, and we'll sell it in a week. And by the way, that doesn't mean lower the price. It just means price it right. Three homes in a week recently, which is pretty normal for them. They had one with three offers, another one with three offers, another one with 30 offers. And by the way, the 30 offer home, you think that's because they lowered the price? No, the woman who wanted to sell it on her own wanted to sell it $197. Leavenworth team sold it for $237. So $40,000 higher, and it moved 30 offers, right? Because they know the market. They know how to do this. They have the expertise and the people, and it's just, I mean, the track record speaks for itself. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Renke Realty, 723-9158.
How can we make amends when we said all we said? I call and you don't pick up. How can I say instead that I hope it's for the best? I won't.
I agree with all of what they've said, which is why we substituted the House bill yesterday. I want to clarify, this does not prohibit local municipalities from providing incentives anymore. We got rid of that. That no longer, it was true in the earlier Senate bill, but the bill we're contemplating today still allows local preferences.
So this is the HB 53, and this is the one that would have prevented state funding to anybody doing a project that has more than 50% of its funding that comes from the state if they do local preference, you know, covenant with the community kind of stuff. The much more watered down version is now you just can't prohibit out of town from applying. That's all it says. You can still pick the local and even prefer the local. So this is mostly become a nothing burger, in my opinion. 437-1620, got a couple of follow-up texts on the issue of allowing guns in churches that happen to be near schools. Somebody here says, I've carried a gun in church for 20 years, not because I thought I would need to shoot someone during the service. I carried it during the service because I feel the risk of my car being burglarized and the gun stolen is one I don't want to take. No, that's a great point. You know, you're not supposed to leave the gun in the car. Well, when you park it, and right, you know, that's a good point. Obviously, you know, the one statistic that they quoted about so few mass shootings are thwarted by people having guns, but how many would be if they had been carrying, right? We all think of back to like Charleston, for example. Anyway, somebody here says, I'm pretty sure that no gun allowed signs don't deter criminals intent on murder. Right. If anything, they probably encourage them. You know, that's true. And somebody said a good analogy with the car accidents being by distracted and drunk drivers, not by all drivers. Right. 622 on. Thank you. 622 on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Mark Jacobs is in the newsroom with our headlines. Mark.
President Biden to focus on families and the coronavirus rescue plan in his first speech to a joint session of Congress tonight. He'll also touch on police reform, immigration and gun safety. That address set for 8. You can hear it live tonight. Supreme Court set to hear the case today of a former Pennsylvania cheerleader who vented her frustrations on social media. Brandi Levy booted from the squad after giving the middle finger on Snapchat and dropping a string of F-bombs.
I was a 14-year-old kid expressing my feelings, expressing how I felt, and that's how kids do it. Like, they do it over social media.
4 years later, she admits she shouldn't have made the post. The head of the NRA in the spotlight after a video emerges of him shooting an endangered elephant. Wayne LaPierre seen struggling to kill the animal in Botswana. It's actually a 2013 hunting trip that was filmed for a TV show that never made it to air.
Hmm. Okay. And the animal was protected in 2013? That'd be my only question is, you know, now versus that. And I don't know the answer. I have no idea.
Either.
But, yeah, that's not good. All right, Mark, thanks so much for the update. 624 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Oh, I'm in the middle of posting, and I just didn't get a chance to get it done last night. I'm kind of putting all the slides together. But, you know, how I do these updates of all our coronavirus stuff once a week, everything is still in very good shape here locally. All of our numbers are very far down. The hospitalizations are down in the 30 vicinity and have been there pretty consistently for quite some time. The infection rate is very low. The Santa Rosa is actually a little bit lower than Escambia. Every time it flirts with 100, 100 is the break point for the CDC. That's the 100 people per 100,000 residents, or a 0.1% infected. That means, you know, 1 out of 1,000 people have it is kind of the idea there. When it gets below that, you get into the yellow and then to the green, but we've been in red. Everybody's been in red for over a year now. And so we're hoping to get that one back down. And every time it gets real close, it doesn't quite get below there. But here's fingers crossed hoping. Okay, so conditions here locally are very good. Conditions in the state, not as good. And conditions in the country are actually better than the state of Florida. South Florida, once again, like the eastern time zone in Florida mostly, and some of the rural counties in the panhandle take them out too, is a little bit higher. The infection rate is a little bit higher. So, you know, all your friends who don't know there's a central time zone in Florida, or that there's the other Florida underneath Alabama, we're the safe ones here locally, so, which is good news, right? I mean, we want everybody to be safe. 625 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Davis Allen has traffic on the fives.
And going back to the front gate of NES, Pensacola is still seeing those delays, now backing up, not quite to Interbay Avenue, but right about that foot of the bridge. Going on Garcon Point Bridge and Avalon Boulevard, still not showing delays at this time, and also Gulf Parkway and Navarre Parkway flowing smoothly there, along with I-10 and I-110, 9 Mile Road, Pine Forest Road, and Mobile Highway, as well as Scenic Highway, are all checking in clear. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
Are you tired of thinking about insurance benefits, dental benefits, vision, life, disability benefits for your employees? Are you tired of worrying about, or, you know, are you dreading, like, maybe it's going to come up again in you know, later in the year, and you're going to have to deal with it again? Are you dreading having to do that again? Well, listen, if you're irritated and fed up, and by the way, if you like it, that's fine. But if you're irritated or annoyed and you don't want to have to spend time thinking about it, let somebody else do it. That's what Torgerson Causey does. That's their whole reason for existing, is to help you not have to deal with that stuff so that you can get back to doing why you got into business in the first place. Right. So you can do your thing. They'll help take that thing off of your plate. So whether it's HR tools and resources, payroll stuff, benefits, any of that stuff, they can help you with it. For 20 years, they've been helping local companies just like yours. Give them a call for a no-obligation review of your program. We started using them recently here at News Radio, and they did what they say. They gave us options, which is nice. 433-9996, or check them out online, Torgerson Causey at tcbenefitsgroup.com.
Storm chasers got up close to a huge tornado yesterday near the city of Benjamin, Texas. Here's their reaction.
We are in the tornado!
In the tornado!
In the tornado!
Right
in the tornado.
Power lines are going down! Stop it right here!
Stop right here! We gotta back up! We gotta back up!
What was that again?
We gotta back up! We gotta back up!
We gotta back up. I can't even do that with my voice. Oh my God, the best ever. So Davis, remember earlier when I was playing with some audio and I told you there was something funny coming later in the show? Oh, did I deliver?
Oh man. Well, now I wonder, how big was this tornado?
I don't know.
Had to have been big. This
big.
Guy, for that guy to reach yeah. that level in his voice.
For a storm chaser to be like,
we gotta back up!
Oh, but you know what that reminds me of? You remember the fireworks video? Terry in the wheelchair? Fireworks video in the middle of the street?
Oh my. Hey, hold on. Hold on. Two cars come. You got two cars coming two different ways.
Hold on, Terry. All right, Terry. Go now. Go.
Bag up, Terry. Put it in reverse, Terry. Put it in reverse. Oh, Lord. Lord, Jesus. Ow, Lord.
So I don't know which backup is better, that one or...
We gotta back up! We gotta back up!
That's my gift to you this morning. Mark Jacobs, you gotta back up!
I gotta back up! Oh, no.
There
was some laundry being done after both of those incidents, I imagine.
Did you intentionally not file the paperwork?
Administration does not file the paperwork for this program.
You said we made a decision. Did you make a decision to not file the paperwork? That's what I'm asking. Was that a decision you made or your group made?
We as an organization, and I as the leader of this organization, made a decision, and I support the organization.
Made a decision to not file the paperwork. Let me ask you, why would you make a decision to not file paperwork that would get us money and roads and infrastructure?
So this is the ongoing question, hubbub, Mexican soap opera, whatever you want to call it, in the Santa Rosa County Commission. James Calkins is kicking and screaming about this $1.4 million road funding project that was not applied for the Small County Outreach Program, SCOP funds. And, you know, people are saying that it's money the county lost. There's no guarantee that we would have gotten approved for it at all. Maybe we would have, maybe we didn't, but the money was not applied for and that window has closed. And the question keeps coming up, you know, who's responsible? Well, Dan Schebler, the county administrator, has apologized for this and clarified, rightly so, that this was missed opportunity. And so then questions still linger, and should anything be done? The four other board members have total confidence in Dan. James Calkins wants to see him lose his job over it. So joining us now, we have Dan Schebler, Santa Rosa County Minister. And anytime there's a county meeting, we always like to have him on afterwards. Dan, welcome back to the show, sir.
Thank you. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. As you know, and I've told you, I said that on the air myself, and I've said it to you, you know, I have great confidence in you. I think you do an outstanding job at administrating. And I quite frankly fear for what would happen if, let's say, he got his way. I mean, I don't know how many other people would leave out of fear that that'd be the way the counties run. So, but that's my take, okay? I wanted to give you a chance, if you want to add anything, if you want to clarify anything, because I know folks in Santa Rosa County are hearing about this, reading about this, and watching this online. And I just want to make sure they get as much information as they deserve. So what would be, do you have anything else to add to this conversation?
Well, the clip you played kind of explains it in my mind. I don't know how to explain it any other way. I did let the previous public works director go on no notice, which created a gap in the organization. I filled that with an interim by sending the assistant county administrator down there. We had a hurricane. We had debris cleanup for 3+ months. In the process, we hired a new public works director, and there was a lot to do in that department to sort of right the ship, if you will, after a devastating hurricane for the area. And we also lost the assistant public works director. This is a program that is overseen and managed by that department. And we, the organization, did not submit the paperwork on time. I'm responsible for everything that happens in the organization, whether it's a decision I delegate or a decision I take myself. And so I take responsibility. And we have put steps in place, as the chairman mentioned last week when this was discussed, that this isn't going to happen again. But I think taking the time to look at a strategic approach and what are the right projects to apply for, when we only receive funding for 2 out of the last 8 projects, maybe we're not applying for the right projects. So we did, as an organization, make a decision to not apply in this year for that program. But we will apply in the future, and we do have, I think, a better approach going forward to be proactive in many areas as opposed to reactive, whether that's in our road paving program, in our stormwater pond maintenance program, in our mowing program, lots of things I think the county will see improvement in with the changes we've made in the organization.
Well, I appreciate that answer. I appreciate more of that perspective. And, this idea that it was somehow guaranteed money that you cost the county or that somebody in the organization cost the county, that mischaracterization bothers me. And frankly, and I'll say it again, we have 2 counties with, I think, outstanding people of integrity running them. And I'm grateful that we have both Janice and you running these 2 counties. So, and I know the other county commissioners feel that way. And I want you to hear it from me publicly, because I don't want people to get the wrong impression about, you know, what's actually going on. Let's get to the business of what actually took place yesterday, the things that you guys did. I assume, I didn't get to the end of the meeting, but I assume you guys approved the extra sheriff's patrols for Tiger Point?
We did, yep. And we're working with the sheriff's office to to fill those. It's additional patrols, so it's based on the availability of officers. And as Commissioner Wright mentioned yesterday, we'll have a reporting mechanism back to make sure that the additional investment of dollars is having a return. And we'll bring that back at our first May meeting to the board to provide an update.
Okay.
There was a lot of infrastructure investment. Decisions made by the board after the hubbub, as you called it. We actually did a lot of real business. Some infrastructure, stormwater improvements, Camden Drive outfall project was approved. A new light on Shemukla Highway at Education Drive, which will improve safety and improve traffic flow and alleviate the need to have a deputy out on that corner every morning when school's in session. So a lot of good things happened.
Yeah, school. I mean, everywhere they exist, schools cause traffic trouble. I mean, it's just the way it is. And so, having some better solution for that, I'm sure that's going to make things better. Plus, I think the 5 points, if I'm not mistaken, you tell me if I'm. Or you know, there's a couple of traffic signals you and I talked about last week that got approved for the intelligent traffic management system. So they'll be able to be remotely operated to accommodate traffic flow. That connection to the ATMS, right? That got approved yesterday.
Yeah, the money got approved yesterday. We have to do a budget amendment because that was new money not included in our budget. So
got it.
There was a budget amendment on to appropriate funds to pay for those things, both at the Five Points area and the two down at the beach at the Causeway and at Highway 87. So it's still probably 6 weeks or so before those are installed and operational, but they should be there for the bulk of the summer season and the beach traffic that comes with that.
And I assume that you guys have been doing wait times, you know, kind of observation that they've, you know, got the lines out in the roadway to measure that kind of stuff, and then are going to compare that to afterwards so you can do some kind of a measurable, hey, here's what we spent and here's how we know it's working. I mean, I assume that that's taking place.
Yep.
Outstanding. Well, I look forward to the results.
We'll be working with the transportation planning organization. They staff and monitor the system and the traffic management center. So looking at, you know, once those are installed, what is the change and what is the benefit is part of the program.
Very good. We're talking to Dan Shebler. He is a Santa Rosa County Administrator. Dan, hang on for just a second. Let me get a quick traffic break. Davis Allen with Traffic on the Fives.
And speaking of Gulf Breeze Parkway, Navarre Parkway, these areas still checking in clear, although we are seeing some slight delays going northbound along Garcon until you get over the hump, and then Avalon checks in clear from there in both directions. Pace through and Milton on Highway 90 also reporting no delays. That's the case for I-10 and I-110 as well. I'm Davis Allen with your Traffic on the Fives.
Thanks so much, Davis. Now back to Dan Shebler. Dan, one of the things I was kind of surprised by this, the size of the conversation that was had over the pit safety change. And I wanted to have you give folks maybe a quick rundown on this. The way I understand it is that the county is currently involved in an annual inspection based on the death of a couple of children a couple decades ago who got themselves into a pit and wound up dying, which is a horrible tragedy. And the effort was to try to bring some kind of a safety mechanism to these dig pits. Unfortunately, the ones that are grandfathered in prior to the change, of course, they didn't have to change anything. But this is the idea of it's got to be sloped a certain way, you know, low slope, or has to have no water in the bottom, or else if neither of those, then it has to have a fence with signs all around it. The problem is that you can't fix the old ones, or the geography of the situation makes it impossible, or people violate the fence on their own, or the fence doesn't. I mean, it seemed like we're going through this performance of being able to say we're doing it, but it's not really making a safety difference. The worry is that if we say every year they're safe, then something happens. Now the county's involved in this process as opposed to just letting the land development code be the governing. Do I have it in a nutshell? Is that basically right?
I think you encapsulated it very well. What the board decided to do was just to table that, and as we finish the land development code, which is where all those, there are a bunch of performance standards relating to pits in the land development code currently and will be in the new land development code. Which we have another workshop this afternoon on that, starting at 1 p.m. But making sure that we capture the performance standards in one place, and then code enforcement has that document, whether it's in the land development code or this separate standalone ordinance. I think the direction was to reconcile the two and go with one that encapsulates the safety requirements and the performance standards for operating.
Okay, so what we're doing is instead of taking this layer off that may be an unnecessary layer and may invite litigation against the county, we're going to wait, we're going to put the LDC in, and then it will really become superfluous at that point, and we can take it off with no real consequence, which it probably has no consequences anyway, but this is sort of the, you know, doing one instead of two first. Is that basically the idea?
Right. You got it.
All right. Very good. Dan Schebler, he is. And look, I know it's frustrating because what we all want is we all want to make the pits safe from anybody who might inadvertently wander in, their kids, whatever. And it's just, I mean, that's a great goal we all share, but there's feasibility difficulties in making that happen in practice based on the actual size, shape of the pits, the property lines, and all that stuff, right?
Correct.
All right. Well, I know it's like many things in government. You know, it's hard to find a good solution, even though we all recognize the problem. So I appreciate you doing some work on that. Dan Schebler, he is the Santa Rosa County Administrator. Dan, thanks as always for the time. Thanks for the work. I know a lot of times it's challenging, but that's why you took the job. And I look forward to talking to you again soon.
All right. Thanks, Andrew.
You bet. 6:49 on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. Gallon gas, 288, 279 in Florida. Lee Vining, California is the worst at 529, 210 at Fort Worth in Texas. 282 east at the Walmart in Navarre, 279 west at the Walmart, 291 up 87. If you're in Tiger Point, Midway area, 281 right across the road from the foot of the Garson Point Bridge there at that Murphy station. In, in Milton this morning, 281 at the Raceway, 277 at the Walmart in Pea Ridge, 283 both stations in Pace. Into Pensacola, 267. At the Walmart on the south side of 9 Mile, 264 at the Murphy in front of the US 29 Walmart, and coming in from the southwest side, 278 at the Navy Exchange, same price at the TNC on Navy. 6:53 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Mark Jacobs is in the newsroom with our headlines. Mark?
President Biden will unveil his American Families Plan tonight during his first address to Congress, and to pay for it, he wants to tax the rich. The plan nearly doubling the capital gains tax for those who earn more than $1 million a year.
Did I read right? $2 trillion? Another $2 trillion? $2 trillion here, $2 trillion there.
It's only paper.
Yeah, sure.
Police in Richmond, Virginia, investigating a shooting that sounds eerily familiar to a recent incident here. A woman killed, four others wounded yesterday when multiple gunmen opened fire in the breezeway of an apartment complex.
It just caught us off guard. So freaking scared, and it's not fair to me because this is where I live, and this is where I pay bills, and it's sad that you gotta come home and you can't even make it safely to your door because you got guns.
The victims, including two teens and a three-month-old in critical condition, reportedly a large group in the quad of the complex when the gunfire erupted. Burning Man, canceled, second year in a row because of coronavirus pandemic. Sorry if you had your tickets, Andrew.
Oh, maybe, man, I had my $1,000 mask sheet going. Come on.
The Nevada Arts Festival say they're looking to be back in the desert at Black Rock City in 2022.
So this is not really a sanctioned event, right? This is just a bunch of people in the desert?
Bunch of people in the desert. Organizers, they say it's an arts festival.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess.
So it must be organized.
People could just go and.
They really, it's almost as if they were organized.
Well done. Well done. 6:54, Davis Allen, time for a quick shot of sports.
Well, it doesn't matter how many times he says he'll retire, but Floyd Mayweather is getting back into the ring. He'll be taking on YouTube star Logan Paul. His brother Jake just fought Ben Askren a few weeks ago in a fight that he won via knockout. Well, Floyd Mayweather is going to step into the ring against his brother. Logan Paul had been taunting Floyd Mayweather for a long time, saying, let's fight, let's fight. Well, it's going to happen in Miami June 6th. It's going to be a pay-per-view event, so shell out your dollars because it's not going to be cheap. Speaking of fighting, Conor McGregor, he has his own whiskey business. Well, he just made a ton of money off selling it. Him and his partners made $600 million off the sale. So, Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and get into the whiskey business now, Andrew. Because, yeah, I've never even had it, but I heard it's really good. I did hear it's good. But
I hope for $600 million it's not terrible.
Yeah, I would hope. But it's called Proper 12. So there you go. Maybe keep that in mind next time you're at the store and you're wondering what to sip on. That could be your next go-to. That's your quick shot of sports. Now moving this into your traffic on the fives, because we are still seeing some delays along the front gate of NES Pensacola. They're very minor, it appears. We'll keep an eye on that. Also, not really seeing any delays along Avalon and Garcon Point Bridge. So that's good news there. Although we're seeing some minor buildups along Gulf Breeze Parkway eastbound. This is as you are trying to get to Garcon Point Bridge, back to around the Penn Air Federal Credit Union. This report's brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Over 40 years of service. They're big enough to get the job done, yet small enough to care. Call 250-3756 for a no-hassle estimate. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Davis Allen and Andrew McKay, we tell you what's going to happen before it happens. How long will the Biden speech tonight be? What's the total duration of the speech going to be?
I'm going to go 45 minutes.
15 minutes. No, I'm wishful thinking. Yeah, 45 minutes, maybe an hour. Will he pledge unity while he pushes total partisan politics?
Sure.
Of course, yeah. I mean, nobody's going to notice. It worked for Obama. Why wouldn't it work for Biden? Obama 3. The guns in church bill, Jerry Williamson's bill now passed the Senate. Is that going to get signed into law? Will you be able to have a gun in a church that is near a school?
Most definitely.
Yeah, that's going to happen. And thank goodness, finally. The Constitution Revision Commission, we may get the chance to vote on this and eliminate it. Will it get eliminated?
It will.
I also think it will. Have we seen the last extension of this emergency order by DeSantis now that he's pushed it back another 60 days?
Yes, we have.
Yeah, I do think so as well. Will people dramatically change their behavior based on the brand spanking new groundbreaking advice by the CDC on masking outdoors?
I think so.
People were already doing everything they're advising, right? And will Kevin Crispin, we got candidate interviews today and tonight, will he be re-added to the candidates for PD
yes.
Chief?
Yes.